May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
For me, one of the most challenging phrases, words that Jesus said about being a disciple, or if you wish, being a saint, were in our gospel reading today. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. The context of those words is that Peter and the other disciples have just been asked by Jesus, who do people think I am? And they reply that some people say you're a prophet, some people say you're someone who's returned. And then he says, very pointedly, you can almost feel him pointing at them and at you and me, and who do you say I am? And Peter, with his usual impetuosity, blurts out, you are God's Messiah. And then Jesus says, hang on a minute, Peter. From now onwards, things are not going to be easy. Not going to be smooth. Because the way of the cross is ahead of us. There's going to be suffering for me and indeed for Peter. And in a way, Jesus is saying to Peter, if you really do believe that I am God's Messiah, then if you're going to follow me, you must leave self behind, take up the cross and follow me. Taking up the cross. I mean, the cross was a very familiar symbol. It's now the symbol of the Christian faith, but it was a very, very much a part of everyday life, seeing people carrying crosses to their crucifixion. They are very uncompromising words, and they lay great demands on us. Not for the faint-hearted. And they insist that from the beginning to the end of our Christian journey, we should say no to self and yes to God. We should replace me at the centre of all things and put God at the centre. And yet, like Peter, and probably most of us, including me, we look for the loopholes. For shortcuts, imagining that we can somehow hoodwink God and manage to be both Christian and self-centered, followers of Christ, and yet remain comfortably as we are. Well, our journey of faith may have been relatively smooth compared with perhaps many saints, many people who have been sainted, and many saints who we may think of today. But we know that many Christians, and indeed people from other faiths, have faced increasingly testing times over the centuries, and particularly in the last century, which have produced a lot of religious intolerance in many, many places, and if not intolerance in this country, then I suggest indifference. And such intolerance is reflected in the fact that the 20th century saw more Christian martyrs than any other century before. One of them, whose name will be very familiar to you, it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German priest who tried to stand up to the Nazi regime. But he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. in which he writes about those who Jesus called to follow him. Quoting, "Only one thing was required in each case, to rely on Christ's word and cling to it as offering greater security than all the securities in the world." And Bonhoeffer did just that, as did another saint who is commemorated in Westminster Abbey. And I'll bet you have never heard of him. His name was Wang Ziming. Oh, I thought I saw you all light up with a face of recognition. Wang Ziming, who was a pastor in Wuding, W-U-D, Wuding County in China, where in the mid-60s, when the Cultural Revolution started there, there were under 3,000 Christians. That sounds quite a lot, but quite small in China, I guess. He was loyal to the state, but refused to join in the denunciation meetings that were held to humiliate landlords and foment hatred against foreign powers. In May 1969, he and members of his family were arrested. He was executed before a crowd of 10,000 people in 1973. His wife was imprisoned for 3 years, two of his sons for 9 years. And then in 1980, he was rehabilitated, whatever that means, by party officials. Today, he is still remembered in the churches in Wuding, where there are now over 30,000 Christians, a tenfold increase in 35 years. That would be something if we achieved that in Bishop Stortford, wouldn't it? But here was a man who took up his cross daily and followed. And like so many of the great saints, Wang Ziming relied on Christ's word and clung to it as offering greater security than all the securities of the world. Well, mercifully, most of us never are so severely tested. But Christ's challenge in Luke's gospel today to leave self behind yet rings in our ears. Each of us is a unique child of God. But where self-centeredness rules, there is havoc. We live our lives accompanied by a motley crew of arrogance, pride, envy, greed, and think such things are the root of thoughtlessness, prejudice, cruelty, broken relationships, intolerance, injustice, persecution, poverty, violence, war, the list goes on. And the challenge of Jesus to leave self behind is an invitation to replace such destructive selfishness with his creative love. For that to be possible, we have to spend some time each day in Christ's company, as the disciples did when Jesus took them off to pray, to be quiet. And such times can be like the sun shining through a window, as it does beautifully today, into an untidy room, which rings true for me at the moment as I've just moved. So you can imagine our house is a pretty untidy room. Which not only the sun not only illuminates dust and cobwebs and faded fabrics and jaded colours, but it shines into the dark corners of our minds and hearts that we try to hide even from ourselves. The light of Christ makes us see our selfish selves as we really are. But that same light warms the heart, refreshes the spirit, sharpens the conscience, and replaces ill feeling with love, growing understanding, and a deepening compassion for others. In Christ, by giving up self, we become more truly ourselves. And so a daily commitment to depend on his strength and his security means that we are more able to face whatever the way of the cross may bring. And that is always about the way we relate to each other. It's about responding to others with sympathy and understanding, with an open mind and heart that is concerned for the other person's best interest. A poet once wrote about love and said, "It is an intense forgetting of self, a leap away from me." And that line describes exactly the love that Jesus showed for everyone he met, for you and for me. His primary concern was for them. People who follow him, try to be his saints, will know that is true. Such love was expressed by Paul towards the last part of his letter to the Romans, where he writes, "Let love be sincere, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of others. Extend hospitality to strangers. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. If it is possible, live peaceably with all." And I suggest that on this All Saints' Day, we rejoice at people, known and unknown, people known to us who have influenced us, people whom we know from the history books, and many, many others have lived or tried to live their lives in that sort of way. To take up the cross is much more, to live the life of love is much more than a vague sort of pious hope that we will be like that. They are our marching orders, if you like, that leads towards the fullness of life for all. And so we give thanks today that all the saints have lived lives that try to demonstrate that fullness of life that Jesus promised. "I have come to give life, and to give life in all its abundance." If you want to be a follower of mine, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Amen.